Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have another unbelievably very special guest. I can't wait for you to meet her. But in the meantime, I have to tell you about my books. Just in case you forgot, Real Talk is for people pleasing, pleasant people like myself who don't speak up. So if you're one of those people, go to realtalkwithhillary.com, get this book. It'll change your life. If you want some good, juicy summer reading, The Second Piece of French Toast is my memoir for when I was married, not very happy, didn't know what to do, and how I returned to my real self. And then if you're someone who gets upset and gets upset because you're upset or frustrated because you're frustrated, this book is for you. It'll have you stop changing yourself and start having way more fun. So those are my books. Today, I'm here to introduce Kaliani. She is a spiritually inspired visionary, modern mystic, focalizer, I don't know if I'm saying that right, of sacred circles, and founder of Stargate Alliance Films and Media. She is also a singer. And I was just watching her YouTube that she sent me, and oh my God, this, we are in for a very, very, very special conversation, and woo, welcome, Kaliani.
Thank you, Hillary. Such a joy to be with you.
Yeah, thank you. So I know you, I was reading a little bit about you when you were just very young. You already had like the spirit, right? There was something special you were seeking when your mother was praying. You were reaching out to her, even though you couldn't even talk yet, right? So you kind of always had something special.
That's right. I feel like my mother instilled in me this, it was the first contact with something numinous or mysteriously spiritual, which was her teaching my sister to do the sign of the cross. And she always did that. And my sister's 3 years older, 2.5 years older than me. I was a baby. I was probably not speaking yet. Maybe I was 2, 1.5. And I remember just one night I was hurt because she was spending special time with my sister. And, you know, when we're very little, we don't have any notion of like, oh, this is just, you know, something you do to grow older. You don't know the difference between your age and your sibling age. So I just cried, and she came over and I grabbed her hand and I smeared it on my face, like, because I wanted her to do. So she smiled, and of course she started doing it with me. But you know, so that's my first memory, actually, at all. The first memory I have of conscious memory of myself.
Yeah. Wow. So then how did you know that you had this and it wasn't just normal? I mean, a couple of years ago, I took a course, disentangling the ego. And that was really the first time I was learning about the soul and the divine and consciousness. You know, I had never been, I mean, I, you know, I'd had some, what I felt was spirituality, but this was new to me. Like, how did you know that there was this other realm or spirit or God, you know, divine guidance? Like, when did you first know? Like, I don't know if I'm saying it, it's hard to say.
It's hard to say, but I don't remember not ever knowing. And wow. I grew up in Brazil, and I had relatives who were mediums, transchannelers, and I grew up knowing that actually, I don't remember not knowing that this was a school, a spiritual where souls come. And, I had, a direct connection with spirit in a sense. I don't know where it came from, but I feel like we all also had come with a little bit of our own dharma, our own soul history. Because my sister grew up in the same environment, but my curiosity with what's behind the veil and seeking spiritual understanding was like something I pursued all through my teenage years, and one of the first things that happened to me that was very powerful was when I was about 8 and a half. I remember coming home from school and I went up to my bunk bed and I laid down, which is unusual. I was a very active child, very creative, very full of energy. So this day I just came and laid in bed and I was in top bunk and I was looking into the ceiling and I just got out of my body and I started floating. I was seeing as if it was nighttime. I was seeing the cosmos, all the stars, and I started wondering what was this world about and why are we here and what was there before this? How was the world a long time ago? So as my body gets to fly out into the cosmos, I was seeing the planet get smaller and certain transformations in the planet, like the planet was really a lot more green, a lot lusher. And then I was flying. And there was this revolving question in my mind. What was there before? Show me before. Show me before. And my body was getting farther and farther away. And I saw the solar system. I saw all these planets and the sun. And all of a sudden, these planets started to pop. I say pop because they started to disappear one by one as the question revolved, show me before, show me before. And I was getting farther and farther away. Then I started seeing galaxies and, and these clusters of stars. That's today I know it's galaxies. I was just in this beautiful universe, in the middle of the universe, and seeing all of that, saying, show me before, show me before. The galaxies started to disappear, and I found myself alone in this void, right? And this was such a traumatizing experience because by the time I realized I was in this black space with nothing in it, and I felt really peaceful. I wasn't afraid. And then I thought to myself, well, this must be where God lives, right? This must be where God is. Because it was, like I said, I prayed lots of prayers every night before bed. It was like a constant, And so my awareness of God was always there. And I thought, this must be where God is. And then in my innocence, because I didn't have a lot of programming and I was really young and my mother didn't believe in necessarily going to church, even though she grew up very connected to the church. She didn't think it was necessary. And so I asked, what was there before God? Was there anything before God? Can you show it to me? The moment I asked that, my soul or spirit just came rushing fast down back into my body. And I landed with a crash, and my heart was racing and pounding, and I was terrified. I sat up like when you wake up from a bedroom, and my heart was pounding. And I opened my eyes, and I didn't know where I was. I didn't know who I was. I didn't remember anything. I was terrified. So I lost complete identity. I couldn't remember my name, my mother. I lived with my mom and my grandma and my sister, and I couldn't remember any of them. I didn't know what anything was, like looking at a door, at a bed, at a window. Nothing had name. I didn't know how to. I was terrified. People say later on, I learned that, I think it's Babaji, this Indian guru, had a similar experience, and there's other people who have had it and People describe it as something extraordinary or this or that. For me, it was scary. And I don't know how long I was there, terrified, maybe half an hour until I found my way down, opened the door, and ran to the street. And I started to run. I ran probably a block before I started to, and I was trying to grasp onto something because I wanted to remember. I didn't remember, but something didn't feel right. I felt connected. I felt like I was void, like I didn't belong anywhere. There was no sense of connection. My heart was kind of empty, but somehow I knew that that wasn't supposed to be. So, and when I finally remembered, I started to remember things, I was so relieved. I just, it was like I entered paradise. And I repressed this memory because I was so afraid somebody would think I'm completely crazy. I said, I can't tell this to anybody. If I tell my mother, she would take me to the doctor or something. I repressed it and it didn't come back to me until my late 30s. And after I did my USM program, I started to remember things I had repressed, which is a spiritual psychology program, very powerful spiritual psychology program here in Santa Monica. It was my master's, and that's when it came. And that's when I started to have the maturity to actually look at it and try to understand why did that happen, and what is the relationship between show me what was there before God and why did I come rushing into my body, and I forgot everything and I felt disconnected. So this is beautiful because God is consciousness, or let's say, I believe in God in a different way, where it is natural laws that govern the universe, right? And without that, and it's powered by love, basically. So I felt empty of love, connection. God is what gives us a sense of love and connection. That's why when I said, what was there before God, I was emptied out. And this is my interpretation, right? Anybody can interpret however uniquely as they feel should be, but that to me was the message, because I was like, why did that happen? Why did I come back when I asked that question and so violently? And why was I so terrified? Why did I forget everything? So, but I repressed so much. I didn't get to go into it until I was much older, and try to figure
Now, I don't know if I imagine this, but I thought, maybe I imagined it, but I thought when I was reading your article that you had said you had been sexually molested around that age.
Yes,
Would
that's true.
that have tied into any of that?
Oh, definitely. It could have, because, my mother, after that happened, I was 7 the first time, between 7 and 8, and 8, 8 and a half. So I actually was so traumatized by the experience, more because of a sense of a fall from grace. Usually people fall from grace at an older age where they feel like, they're reflecting on their life's choices and the things they regret, and they feel all of a sudden there's a need to repent and come closer to God, or because they realized they weren't the best people they could be. And that's fall from grace. I had it at 8 and a half because the association of sexual things with sin, right? My mother would not let us watch TV after a certain time and certain soaps in real, or very open and sensual, exploring sexual themes. And she would tell us to go, and my sister and I would hide behind the door because we're curious. Why doesn't she want us to stay in the living room? And So that association, that general association of literally the vilification of sexuality, which is, you know, I feel has been more detrimental than serviceful. It has caused so much distortion, you know, the repression of something that's natural. And that's why in my song Tears for Inanna, which was, Inanna was one of the primordial goddesses of ancient Mesopotamia, and she was like Sumeria originally, and by Babylonian times she was called Ishtar, and she was a priestess of the temple, and there was something called the ritual. Sexuality was sacred, so basically a king had to spend a night with a priestess, you know, and they were very gifted with the arts, the healing arts, and foretelling and all of that. So I think I came with the directive to heal a little bit of this idea of to clean up sex. Sex is not dirty. Sex is the most sacred act of creation because we come from it. There is so much nonsensical information that was given to us, passed down, and mostly religiously, right? And so if I hadn't gone through that, so that's the blessing, I would not have felt the passion and the impetus to heal this, because my suffering was more, not because of what happened to me, because funny enough, I wasn't violently raped. I was molested, and it was painful, and it was abusive, emotionally more than anything. But my greatest pain was to feel that God would never accept me. And I, as a child, I felt stained and unholy. And it has to do with this association of a detrimental construct that we've been given, that sex is wrong. It's not wrong, it's very right. And it creates us. We come from that. There's no denying. It's creation in its highest form in this 3D reality. So we have to come from a place like that. And by coming from a place like that, we'll become more healed, because there's a lot of sexual distortion out there. But if we understood sex for what it is, you know, lovemaking would be treated in a better way and sacralized in a way, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, interesting. Now, when you said before, Earth is a school, I mean, I've heard that again, since I've learned about the soul and all that stuff, but how did you know that? Like, how would you instinctively know? You know, I only know it because people have said it, and it sounds like it makes sense. Not everybody believes in soul, you know, not everybody does, but it sort of resonated with me. Like when I was working with that woman and she said, our birthright is joy, you know, like what you were saying, that's where we belong, not in this other, the ego, you know, whatever, stuff like that. But how did you know that the earth is a school? Like, how would you just know that?
I don't remember not knowing, but it could be because of all that I was surrounded with. For example, Cardicism is a spiritist, you know, philosophy, practice, spirituality in Brazil that's really big. And I put my hands in those books early on. I could have found something there.
Okay. So you were surrounded by, like you said, your uncle was mediums and stuff. So it must have been in Brazil, there was more of that.
I just don't, and I at 13 I read the whole collection of Kali Gibran. My mother was really into Kali Gibran. I don't know if you know, the prophet is one of his It's the second most sold book other than the Bible.
Wow.
And I read that at 13 and I fell in love with it. So all these mystic writings felt really soothing to me and familiar. And I sucked them up. And
Yeah. Okay. So that, yeah. Okay. Wow. So interesting. So then, all right. So then you kind of grew up and you came, I know you went to college for psychology, right?
That's right.
Were you still with this mystical side, or had you kind of put it, to rest for a while, or were you still like do like, because psychology is not that. How did those fit in, I would ask.
Yeah, I was actually through my teen years, I put my hands into everything, occult, Kabbalistic numerology, astrology, tarot. And I became part of a book club when I was 15. My mother said, "What do you want?" I just said, "I want you to join me to this book club," because I wanted to have access to more spiritual knowledge. And so I read Barbara Ann Brennan's book. It was translated into Portuguese back in the 80s. And she has a university in Miami, in Florida, somewhere. I don't know if it's Miami, but she teaches clairvoyance and healing, hands-on healing. So this book was fascinating. I don't know if you've come across Hands of Light, but it's all about the auric field, the energetic coils, the form, and how you can heal people with your hands. And I had that memory, ancient, or I don't know, other lives. And that's why I got the book, because I had a resonance with that. So I started using my hands to heal people that came to my house, randomly, or my family members, and mostly headaches or migraines. And I was very successful. Every single person I touched with a headache would say, "How did you do that?" And I think it has very much to do with the belief that I could, so, and I had, this natural desire to help people. So I was doing that, and then I started wanting, there was a sense of that I wanted to find the unifying core of philosophical thinking and spiritual. I felt like there was so much confusion in the world, and there were too many religions and too many thoughts, and people, just I just felt like there has to be one thing, and I was adamant I would find it. The consolidating core belief system where we don't have to be different. We just, this is where it flowers from, right? So I checked every, I went to Baptist church, I went to Rosicrucian Society. I started taking yoga, and the yoga teacher was Rosicrucian Amok priest, and he had huge libraries of books, and he had shelves numbered, and he would call me little angel, and he would say, I would want to take the book from the third shelf, and he said, "You can't. You have to read only from the first shelf first, and then you can read the second shelf." And this was like a studio he had in the backyard of his home that he taught yoga at. It wasn't like, and then there was another sect of Rosicrucian Society, and I visited them a few times, but I never really wanted to, associate myself with an institution. I was nibbling, and there was always a sense of like, just experience it, but don't become
Join
part
it. Don't
of
join it. Yeah.
the don't join.
Yeah.
And then there was, Cartesis centers with mediums, transchanneling, and talking about entity attachments and how to clean it. And I mean, I watched all of that growing up, and I was fascinated. And then my also the Christian rationalism, which is really beautiful. They have a very universal, non-dogmatic language. I was fascinated with them. My first boyfriend, he was his family belonged to it, so I got to nibble on that too and read some books. And of course, the work of Allan Kardec is extraordinary. I recommend highly to everyone. There was he just recently passed away, but he psychographed, in Brazil we call psychography when you do automatic writing, more than 400 books and donated all of them. They all go to charity. He lived a very simple life. His name is Chico Xavier, and it was extraordinary. There's a movie that Universal actually released called Astro City, and it's about the astral realm. Some souls have to go into the astral realm before they can go beyond that. But the knowledge, the arsenal of knowledge, or the container, the huge vault of knowledge that in those books, extraordinary. And there's some American authors that have done similar work. But Alain Kardec was a doctor, a French doctor, and Cardinal is it was it played a major part of my understanding of spirituality, and also the African inheritance that we have in Brazil with all the Yoruba tradition of also mediums, and it's very complex, but it's really beautiful, and I saw a lot of that too.
Wow.
So to me, the world beyond our five senses was very real from a
And
very.
when you were seeking like the one like umbrella, did you ever find it?
No.
No?
No. I actually yeah, I didn't. I got very confused around 21, 22. I think I met some people, and there's not a lot of, you can meet people that are mystics and they can have knowledge, but they're not necessarily embodiments of kindness, or they don't
Right.
live very integral life. And those things for my age were kind of created pain and confusion. And shortly after that, I was in college at this time on my second year of psychology at the Federal University of Rio, and I had lost my period so that I could, like, the 6 month period so I could start working and help my mother a little bit. And I got a job, and this process I ended up meeting my future husband, and that's when I came to the US, and it was very grounding. I needed it. It was,
To come to the US, you needed that?
I needed grounding because I was not very grounded. I didn't do a lot of the stuff that young people did, teenagers. I didn't like the company of teenagers very much. And then as a young woman, I did a little bit more of that. I experimented, going to clubs and discos and things for a short period of time of 1.5 years or so before I met my ex-husband. And he's no longer with us. He actually no longer lives, but the father of my kids. And married 16 years, and because of he was half Jewish, half Christian, and he didn't believe, he thought religion was the worst thing that could have happened and killed more people than any war, he says, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it. So I kind of, because I saw him cry a few times, talking about his father's side of the family, everybody. He escaped Kristallnacht. After Kristallnacht, his father left and went to Brazil. He got on a ship, and it took him like several months to get there because no port was accepting anybody, but Brazil was. So he stayed on it, and his brother left in China. And it's so sad, the story. And all his other brothers got killed, and his wives and children in concentration camps. So he talked about how his father would get these letters when he was just 4 years old, between 4 and 6, And another member of the family was found that they were dead in Auschwitz or somewhere. So out of compassion for him, I moved a little bit away. I put my books away. I didn't. And he had so much love for life. He was very much here. He was a very successful businessman, and he loved going out and dancing, and we went to Europe for our honeymoon, and then shortly after coming back, I got pregnant, and my life changed very much from like living in this realm of just not really here to he taught me how to love life and be present in the material world. He was very much like that, and it was good. I needed that, and I became a mom, and that was my focus for quite a few years. And then when my
Wait, can
marriage,
I have one little question? The father was four. I'm assuming he came with his parents. He didn't come by himself at four to Brazil, right?
he came by himself at 19. Yeah.
What, 19? So he wasn't four. Okay.
When he was four in Brazil, his father was receiving the letters, and then they finally found the uncle, and the uncle arrived catatonic on a stretcher. And he was so excited. Oh my God, I'm finally going to meet one of my relatives from Germany. He's a little boy, and his uncle comes on a stretcher out of a plane. And that was Uncle Herbert, and he was an extraordinary pianist. And eventually he recovered, and he had a full life in the south of Brazil. But so he had a lot of traumatic experiences about, that.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, where were you going? So you were, oh, I shouldn't have interrupted you. Anyway, you learned to be present in the material world. You were a mother. And then how did you return to all this?
It was at the end of the crisis, at the end of my marriage. I was trying to save it, and I could feel that it wasn't going anywhere. And then there was this devastating event. I don't like going there out of respect for his soul, and it is what it is. When he passed away, he was in my arms, and I ushered him into the other side, saying, there's no death, you're just going on a trip. He traveled a lot, he was very successful, he was always on a plane going somewhere. I said, you're just going on a long trip, and we'll all be together again. Just because he was panicking because his time had come. He was gripping my hands, and I ushered him, and I felt so good to be there for him. We were friends. It took a while for us to heal this relationship after the divorce. It took about 3 to 5 years, but we became good friends, and for the children, and for the sake of, understanding that, it is what it is, But at the dissolution of my marriage, I felt this urge to go back to intense prayer, but I didn't want to do the prayers that I knew, the four or five ones that my mother taught me. I wanted a specific one that I had heard only a few times, and I didn't know how to say because it was very long. And I called home and I said, Mom, please give me Caritas prayer. And she started dictating to me, and I took it down. It was like 3 pages long, or 2.5 pages, handwritten. It's called Caritas. And actually, I didn't know where that prayer came from. And so I researched, and you can Google it. It's a beautiful prayer. And I was guided to say it every night after I took my feet off the ground, and before I put my feet on the ground again every morning. And I did that for several weeks. I did not know how long it took me. And that's when I started. I was still living with him, but things were really, really terrible. And I started having dreams and visions of this goddess, and it's funny because they say this was a prayer to Lord Jesus Christ, And it still have very much the Christian dogma language, but I say I prayed for the Lord and the lady came because I was surrounded by these, I had so many, I had dreams, visions. She would appear beyond the glass, the etched glass windows at the sunroom. We had a sunroom and in dreams, and I didn't know who she was, like a geisha, lady. And eventually, I was fascinated with a certain type of jewelry that somebody was making and selling. There was only one person that sold it. And I got this pendant. Okay. This is, I wore it because sometimes I don't wear it very often. And it's, a coin in, etched in the back. So this entity that was appearing to me was the goddess of compassion. I don't know if you heard of her. She's very known all throughout Asia, Thailand, Japan, China. In Japan, she's known as Kanon, and there's massive statues of her, like, Christ Redeemer in Rio, that big giant
Is she
statue.
the one you were seeing outside the window?
Yeah, and in a dream once she came and she had laser eyes and she was standing in front of me, and I had like blackbirds over my head flying in, with her laser. She had laser eyes and her head turned 360 degree, and she was zapping all these blackbirds flying. They would disappear into dust, and I mean, I had so many strange things happen to me, like. If I went out in the moon or even through the in a full moon, I could feel warmth and my hair would raise. It was very different than anything I've ever felt. I could not go under the moonlight without feeling like it was the sun, and it was also my hair would raise. I had all these strange sensations, and I couldn't eat. I stopped eating. I didn't eat for several months, I
Wow.
looked at food and food looked like plastic to me. I couldn't understand how people could eat. And I would try and I put food in my mouth, even the stuff that I loved the most. I always loved eggs, fried eggs. And I tried to, I would chew it and spit it out. And this went on for a long time. So I thought to myself, I am going to get really ill and I won't be able to take care of my kids. So I have to do something. So I went to the market. It was no advertising intended, Whole Foods. And I was looking at all this stuff. This is back in 2003. And I was
Wow.
guided to pick up this bottle and it was called Greens Plus. It had three metals on it. This was when people didn't even hear of greens powders. Now
Right.
it's fad, right? And I had that twice a day with apple juice. I would put apple juice and put like three heaping tablespoons of greens powder. And that's the only thing I could swallow. And of course, needless to say, I lost tons of weight. I was like skin and bones. But I feel some spiritualists say her presence was so strong around me that I could not, I couldn't, yeah, I couldn't do things that. Because the vibration was too intense.
Wow. Wow. Oh my God. All right. So I hate to interrupt this. We want to take that commercial break and then a couple minutes later we'll play your first video. So we're gonna have to do all this fast, but there's so much I wanna know. Yeah. All right. So let's go to that. And then when we come back, we'll hear more. Cool.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called The Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teacher's plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
So thank you to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com, and also the Real Talk with Hillary book. But I don't want to take more time. I want to get back to, so what happened next? So there you were, not being able to eat, feeling that vibration. Mm-hmm. What happened next?
Yeah, and I started taking acupuncture twice a week to help calm my body, and I had developed a little bit of ABS. You know, I couldn't digest food. And in this beautiful center, there was a bunch of shelves with books. And every time I had to wait to go in, I would start reading. And I got to get to read Hua Xingni, which is a master Taoist, who was actually the father of these 2 pioneer acupuncturists. They were actually the youngest acupuncturists ever to receive license in California, and they were only 19 because their father was a master. And actually, he's the master who, one of the masters who taught, not Thich Nhat Hanh, but the name will come to me. So I became really interested in Taoism. It's a beautiful philosophy. And I feel like if somebody asks me deep in my heart, what is, if I had to pick a philosophy that I belong to, I would say it's Taoism. But, you know, I continue to, you know, journey through the process of, you know, the divorce. After I separated, I decided to pursue my education further. I had a BA in psychology from UCLA, which I transferred from Rio when I came. And then I went to USM for a spiritual psychology program. And one of the beautiful things on the introduction night, when I first went to understand what it was about, you know, the teacher said, Ron said that the earth is a school. And I knew that, you know, this is the place I wanted to continue. Wow. Education at. Yeah. And I remember when I was trying to choose my academic goal, career, like when I entered college, I told my mother, I don't think what I want to do has been created, because I was fascinated with, you know, with metaphysics. And I wanted to do parapsychology, but that wasn't available in Brazil, not in Rio, for sure. And so when I entered USM, I felt like this is a little bit closer to what I've always wanted to do, which is, it's psychology from a soul perspective. So it's, you know, if you can't understand that you are not just this physical body, then you cannot take USM, basically. It's so growth, and yeah, and the principles and practices of spiritual psychology are deeply inherently connected to the process of soul growth, learning, forgiving, understanding, reframing your reality, So all of that added to what was happening. And from that, I got downloads to, create, after the Kuan Yin experience, I got, involved. After I graduated USM, I did a 13 Moon Mystery School program with Ariel Spilsbury's teachings, and I did 2 years of that, not consecutive, but I became a facilitator of sacred circles. And it's a very unique program that brings not only her downloads, but it's the 13 archetypes of the divine feminine. And if you worked with archetypes, they're containers for qualities, right? So she created this beautiful, I've never found anything that I felt so, driven to pursue and do and add. So then I started having circles that created a sisterhood of the Rising Phoenix, and I blended that with a lot of my love for Celtic cosmology as well, which is very connected to Native American cosmology. So, it's about understanding nature, understanding the cycles of nature and how they reflect our cycles of our life, how spring is birth and childhood, and then, summer is the middle of our lives, and then the fall is our later years, winter is, death and rebirth, and how, understanding how nature has everything. And we felt so just, it's this modern world where all is indoors, where all is even now with technology. And I just, fell in love. I read a few books and felt really connected to them. So I blended that with my facilitation. And I still do that, I've taken a little break due to the production of the video and the new song, but
Wow, that's so cool. I just feel like this energy, like I want you to keep talking, because I feel the right something.
that's
It's
beautiful.
not earthly. I feel wow. So I know we're gonna play. I know we're running out of time. It's like keep talking, but. So how did this song, like real quickly, how did this song came about? We're going to see like a minute or two of it, of this one Earth, right? And then we can tell people where to go to find your other ones, the one I was watching before here. We can put all that in the notes and stuff. But how did you're doing this facilitation, and then all of a sudden you're doing music videos. Like, how did that happen?
That was a beautiful journey. I like I said, I was my life had and my spirituality had transformed into this love for the Divine Mother, basically, because I feel like half of my life I prayed to a divine masculine, because that is in most of our cultural inheritance from multiculturally speaking. We have mostly a divine masculine imprint, right? And I, because I had this, direct experience with the sacred feminine, and this passion burned to give her voice. And I was at the time doing a lot of research to create a documentary, because Stargate Alliance is a production company that I founded in 2009 or around there. I've done a few, I did a documentary and a feature film that I co-executive produced. And I wanted to create a documentary about the sacred feminine. And I knew that when I did Secrets of Love with Bill, the licensing of music was really, really difficult and expensive. But music is the soul of any film. And I thought, I want this to have very special soulful music. And I remember my children were with my ex for 2 weeks traveling, and I was alone and I went into this meditation process. I also had done Kriya at SRF. That's another thing. Right after the divorce, I moved to Malibu from Beverly Hills, and I was attending classes for a year at Self-Realization Fellowship with Paramahansa Yogananda's teachings, right? I don't know if you are familiar. His book is extraordinary. When I read it, I said, I have to. And I lived in the Palisades for 5 years before that, and I always saw the temple there. It was Lake Shrine, and it's beautiful, like beyond. Gandhi's ashes, part of his ashes are there, and there's swans on the lake. It's just extraordinary. And I started actually attending and learning. So I was really deep into meditation on my second year of USM as well. I did it every day, twice a day. And it was just, so I went into this process and I said, please help me, Spirit. How do I do this? How can I honor this desire to create this documentary appropriately? And how do I resolve this song? And, the meditation that I did always telling me that I was going to create the song. And I said, no, can't be. I don't sing. I don't play instruments. I mean, I play a little bit of Native American flute, a little bit of hand drum, or frame drumming. But I didn't even at that time. I just played the flute at the time. And I was like, I just can't end. This is, but all the time I went into meditation, it's going to be you. It's going to be you. And I thought that, you know what? Let me just, this is crazy, but I'm going to give it a thought. So I thought, I started just drawing down like ideas and names and what the songs would be like, what instruments would be in it. And soon after I met my composer, and it was one thing after another. It's hard to explain how when you are willing to get your head out of the way. Well, I wasn't trained, I wasn't this, it wasn't that. And Spirit is just like, just do it, just do it. And it's like you figure it out later. And the universe just rolled out the carpet. Everybody who I needed appeared. It was just like amazing. And so I sat with him and said, are you okay to compose with me? Because I have an idea of what I want. And he said, yeah, sure. He was very confident. And I
My God,
just,
it's 1:53. All right.
I know it's a lot to
Oh
cover.
my God. All
And
right.
that's how my music vacation came through. And it was extraordinary. And I sang to it. We recorded, and then I made a music video. And then there was Tears for Nana. And
Oh
yeah,
my God. All right.
and
So
it's
great.
on
All right. So let's close it up and then we'll play a minute and then we'll tell people where to find you and stuff like that. What would you like to say in closing? This has been so fascinating. I have goosebumps and I would love to know so much more, but unfortunately we're out of time. So what would you like to say? What would you like to leave people with?
I like to say, don't ever allow the program or whatever people think to stop you from pursuing your passion. No matter how old you are, just believe in it, embrace it, and say yes to it, and let the universe co-create with you. Because if I didn't do that, none of this would have happened. If I was afraid, or if I believed I was not meant to sing, or I'm too old to start because I started in my mid-40s. So
Wow.
just let it take you. Let every concept about what it is like or what people expect to go and create anew.
Wow. All right. And you can find Kalyani. Well, we'll put that in the notes because I want to be able to play a little bit of the song at least. So thank you so much. This has been incredible.
Yes, thank you so
Yeah.
much.
And the recognition ends. We're all part of the same strength. We're all one, as it were.
Oh my God, look at that picture over there. This is the Earth coming up. Wow.
no matter where you are. So will you hold my hand and sing the song with me? The earth keeps calling us, and this time we can hear. And here we are, surrounding you. We hear your call, we come to you. Here we are, surrounding you. We hear your call, we come to you. Holding hands, we heal the waters, plant a forest, clean the air. Underneath this great blue sky, live a people that do care. We're a single planet race, no creed or gender can divide. Under the rainbow of our skin, we simply share the beating. Beyond our colors, your pain hides in my tears. We are heroes without borders, and as love we need not fear. We are one around the world. We're not alone. The time is
this time we can hear.
Oh, Wow, it's so beautiful. I'm so glad you did that. Wow. You
That's the
know,
different one from all the other ones, but it was fun.
it's a what one?
This is unique. It's different because I sing in English, and it's my first release where I actually speak. I speak in a comprehensible language, let's say,
Wow. Yeah. Well, we have to check out her other ones. Kaliani.com, right?
Yes.
KALIYANI.com. You can see all of her stuff. It's incredible. It's mind blowing. So yeah, check her out. Anything else you want to say? This has been so amazing.
I say thank you so much. It was so lovely to be with you. Yeah.
Thank you. Oh. All right.
Okay.
We can put it in after. But anyway, thank you so much. This has been mind blowing. Yes. We never got to discuss the divine stuff, but maybe we can do it again, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Sign me up. I love talking about this stuff. And I always feel like when somebody like you has a genuine interest in the story, I know
Yeah.
it's going to be difficult to fit it in an hour. There was so much more that I could have said that I knew there wasn't enough time,
Yeah. All right. Well, let's continue at another time. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You're lovely. Thank you for the opportunity. Yes.
Thank you, everyone. Sorry about that. I had to mute it after I played that video and I didn't have it. So, but I'll add
That's okay.
it in afterwards. It worked out beautifully. Yes,
I know. Well, at
it
least
was
you
perfect.
had a sample there.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I can't believe you didn't think you were a singer. I mean, it's just incredible, right? The whole
There's a
story.
whole story on this second video, which was Ken Cragun, who's a very famous guy, the guy who did USA for Africa with Michael Jackson and
Yeah.
all that. He
Yeah.
was, I created the song because this project he was spearheading in 2020, 21 for a nonprofit organization. Or it's an organization, a climate change organization called Hands Around the World. And the CEO kept telling me, "Are you going to write a song for us? Are you going to?" And I was like, I don't even write in English. I don't. So it took me a while, but it was an invitation from the universe to do something different. And because the cause is healing the planet, I said, why not? Let me get out of my head and do it. So I couldn't even talk about that, which is kind of very interesting how, Ken Cragun was like larger than life. He was a famous agent from all those. But unfortunately, he passed away in December 21. Yeah. He didn't even hear the song, but the CEO is, he saw it and he loves it. But without him around, we don't know if that project's gonna go on, but he's still pushing for it. But
Good. All right. Well, thank you so much. It was so fascinating.
yeah, thank
I hear
you.
more. Yeah, I'm gonna listen to all your stuff now. So thank you.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day. And
Thank
today's
you.
888, right? The Lion's Gate.
Oh, so what does that mean?
Well, they just say it's a portal every August 8th, and next year is going to be 888, which doesn't happen every year. So they just say it's a very powerful opportunity because Sirius is lining up with the sun, the planet Sirius. So there's like opportunity to create, manifest. So basically, good thoughts, set good intentions, and yeah.
All right, awesome. Thank you. So cool.
Yes. Thank
Okay,
you.
thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. We hope you're entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hillary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhillary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories and links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.